Good morning to you all. As I like to do when I speak to everybody, I like to kind of give you the pathway that I arrived to the subject. On Wednesday night, I spoke just a little bit about my health and the pills that I've been taking. And perhaps you know, or perhaps you don't know, that I, and somewhat to another degree, my siblings and I, suffer from an interesting thing called sensory neuropathic cough. I cough. There's a nerve that says, Jason, cough. And I don't need to, but the nerve says, Jason, you're going to cough. So it was treated like almost like an epileptic. So I was taking anti-seizure drugs and things like that. Well, the unfortunate thing with that was that it made my vision a lot worse. For a couple of days, it had made me almost feel like I was losing my hearing and has continued to keep a ringing in my ears. So while I was contemplating that, I decided that coughing was better than that. So I'm thinking about losing my sight, and I'm thinking about, you know, losing my hearing and everything. Along those lines, perhaps you also know that my strange little hobby is playing pinball. I like to play pinball. I've owned pinball machines. And naturally, we have a little theme song that goes along with that. So no, Tommy is not my dad. The Pinball Wizard by Elton John was one of the songs from Tommy, the musical. I've never seen it. From what I've read about it, I probably don't want to see it, to be quite honest. But the song was good, I thought. And, you know, they speak about this deaf, dumb, and blind kid. Now, it wasn't literal. He had had something tragic happen in his life, and that made him deaf, dumb, and blind. But when Tommy was playing this game, my assumption is, when he's playing this game, he was in the zone. And perhaps you have this zone that you've experienced in your own life. Maybe in a sport that you play, maybe when you're, I don't know, perhaps when you're cooking in the kitchen, you're in the zone, you're right on top of everything. When you're getting ready to speak, suddenly you're in the zone, everything else is blocked out, you can't be distracted. And it slowly dawned on me then while I was contemplating those two things. Can I make a speech, a sermon on Tommy? And the answer I finally came up with was no. So then, of course, the Don had called, and I hadn't started to think about anything else. So for better or worse, here it is, Tommy. If I were more like Tommy, could I be a better Christian? I'm going to go a little bit different from the order from the deaf, dumb, and blind kid. I'm going to start with what I thought was the easiest part, which was dumb. You said dumb. No, that's not stupid, which it can be used that in our language. However, what we're talking about here is the inability to speak, whether that is permanent or temporary. So what I contemplated then is that maybe we should learn when we should be dumb. Proverbs 29:11 says, a fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it until afterwards. How much damage and pain can be avoided by holding our tongue? Can you imagine, or not imagine, but you've surely yourselves have said things that you regret. Perhaps you've been in the company of other people that said things that you 100% know they didn't mean those things, but now they're out there. In our human condition, we seem programmed to lash out. We don't want somebody to get the best of us. We don't want them to win. And it's not necessarily a physical thing, but when we feel wrong, we compound that situation then by getting even. And the truth is that it can be just as painful as a physical retaliation anyway. Solomon says a lot about speech and controlling your tongue in the Proverbs. Proverbs 15:28 indicates that wise men study before answering. In chapter 17, he says that they restrain their speech. And there are many verses that essentially say that the wise hold their words until they have a grasp of the situation, and then they can choose a wise response. So as we read there then, a wise man keeps his thoughts until afterwards, it says. Well, after what? After you let the anger dissipate. After you've had time to contemplate a wise response and then utter it. Proverbs 18:13 says, he that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. You have to wait until you hear all the facts before you make a response. So being dumb, silent, though, isn't just holding your tongue for our purposes this morning. It assists you with another respectable, desirable human attribute, listening. I have a few people that I'm quoting this morning. Most of them I've never even heard of. But a gentleman named Simon Sinek is credited with saying, there is a difference between listening and waiting your turn to speak. Have you ever met that person? The one who hangs on every word that they say? I commuted with a guy. His name was Dave. I commuted with him for 3 or 4 years. First of all, great guy. We'll give you the shirt off his back kind of guy. You guys met him when we were, doesn't matter. Anyway, Dave was the human equivalent of the joke about the interrupting cow. If you haven't heard that one, ask your kids or your grandkids after service. But basically what it boiled down to is that Dave wanted to say whatever was on his mind immediately, sometimes right in the middle of whatever it was that you were saying. I used to kind of mess with him whenever he was actually being polite and wasn't actually interrupting me, because I could see him in the car seat and he would be like all, you know, wanting to say stuff, and so I would just kind of hold the conversation as long as I could to drive him nuts. But it wasn't fun at times, though, when it was apparent that anything that I said wasn't even going to be part of the dialogue. A gentleman named Brian McGill said, one of the most sincere forms of respect is actually listening to what another one has to say. If it is respectful of fellow man, then, to listen to what they have to say, how much more so then would it be of God? James 1:19 says, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. So why should we be quick to listen then? President Lyndon Johnson is credited with this, though it's something that probably all of us have contemplated at times. The quote is, you aren't learning anything when you're talking. So being quick to listen to God, you want to be that because hearing His Word is where we learn. It's simple, right? But we must follow through on that then after we've heard that word. Luke 11:28 says, Blessed rather are those who hear the Word of God and obey it. James 1:22 says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. So being dumb might help me as a Christian. Keeping silent until my thoughts are properly formed makes me a better person. And listening before speaking makes me more respectful of God and man. Being dumb was the easiest of these to contemplate, to be quite honest. And maybe it's because it's the easiest one to imitate. Before I go on, I have to interrupt myself. One of the things that I did do, of course, is that, you know, I partially lost my near vision. I know it's part of aging. But it's amusing to me as I'm doing this sermon because half of what I've written is nice, big, and bold, and then half of it's really small. So when I'm stuttering, sorry, those are the small things, and I don't want to play this game all day. So being deaf. Which of these, deaf, dumb, and blind, is the hardest to imagine? Well, obviously we can be silent. We can do that. We can sit in complete darkness. We can be blind. I don't know if it's possible to imitate being completely without sound. I don't think it's possible unless you really are deaf. So how could being deaf help me anyway? Honest answer, again, I don't know. But then I think, there is a reason why being silent and learning by listening is a more familiar topic than the rest of these in the presentation. However, the first thing that came to mind was this little nursery or perhaps elementary school saying that everybody has heard, right? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me or harm me, right? The truth is, what? Words can hurt. When we consider the harm that we could save by being silent, we have to know that the spoken word can be painful. But we aren't silent. We spit it out. And when those things are spit at us, it can actually redefine who we are. A gentleman named Blaise Pascal said, "If all men knew what others say of them, there would not be four friends in the world." Sadly, it's kind of true, isn't it? We say things about people, we say things to people that hurt them. So many things are better left unsaid. With your children, you call them stupid, you call them ugly, you call them worthless. They can become that in their mind. They can become that in reality, simply because of the words that were formed and put into their mind by the person saying them. So here on earth, not being able to hear these things could be a positive in that you wouldn't heed those negative words spoken about you or around you. All right, so it might make me a better person, but will it make me a better Christian? Well, obviously, because of what I said, yeah, it would be easier to ignore the unkind words. A quote to an unknown person says, "Life is best lived when you care less about what others say or do to you and focus on what God has already promised you." So we don't need to worry about the things that are being said around us. We don't need to worry about the things that we hear. We don't need to worry about all these things that are negative and against you here in this world as you walk through this life, trying to find your home with God. Focus on that instead. Does losing a sense improve another? Looked quite a bit about that on the internet, and the definite answer is probably. Perhaps then, if it does help, the loss of hearing might increase my ability to see. To see the beauty around us. To see God's plan in our own light. See and better understand the goal, the promise of heaven. Being deaf to the world might help me as a Christian. I could focus more directly on God's promises and the framework of the life that He desires that I should live. So we had deaf, we have dumb, and we have blind. I really had to dig deep on this one. Remember, I was going to give next week's New Year's Eve inspirational sermon on the day before we started the 2018. Does anyone here love the colors of fall? Yeah. Can you think of all the things that are beautiful in life? The beauty of the blue sky. The beauty of one thing I love out on the golf course is, you know, you get a night sky and it's really dark and there's stars and there's wisps of clouds. I said wisps. And you can look back over to Des Moines and you see the light rising up there and kind of shining and reflecting back off the heavens. It's beautiful. The things that you consider beautiful might be different than what I consider beautiful. Regardless, the things that we consider beautiful are things that we see, maybe hear, but certainly what we see. So what is beauty to a blind man? Is it even possible that the blind can understand the idea of beauty? Let's take some quotes from the blind community on beauty. "Beauty for me," he says, "means simple things. Just waking in the morning and listening to the birds chirping. I feel that I'm alive." Another blind man says, "I think beauty is experience, the smell of warm baked cookies, the summer breeze against your skin, the feeling of grass underneath your feet." Another says, "I have three kids, and to me, they're all beautiful. I don't even know what they look like. They're beautiful on the inside, because they're me. Losing my sight has been a blessing," one man says, a smile spreading on his face. "I don't care what nationality someone is. I don't care how tall somebody is. I don't care how big or small they are. A person is beautiful because they are true to themselves." Impressively, the blind know beauty in a way that we sometimes forget. When I first moved out to West Virginia Where we lived in the little town there was near a small mountain range, and of course, being from Iowa, anytime you see anything, Council Bluffs are bigger. It's majestic. It's incredible to see this beauty, and you wonder why you talk to the people locally, and they're like, "Yeah, whatever," and then of course, a couple months later, it all kind of goes away for you too, because you get used to it. It's the thing that you see every day. You don't contemplate it anymore. But being blind, they aren't going to get used to it. Let's consider this. Descriptions of heaven. In my Father's house, Jesus says, there are many mansions. In the Revelation, it says, give an end, guys. Come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Also, the Revelation says, the foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. It also says, the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. So this mansion, those stones, these gates of pearl, those streets of gold, if you will, we see those on our minds as a vision of things that we have known and seen here on earth. But could the knowledge that we have limit our wonder at what we might see someday? Can we really imagine what heaven's really going to be like? Do you doubt that if we had the opportunity to actually get a glimpse of that, that when we came back, it would be impossible, in man's terms, to describe how beautiful it is? So being blind might help me as a Christian. My visions of heaven might be even more extravagant and desirable than they already are. Now, being blind perhaps wouldn't change how I match clothing, my wife might say. However, I might see less of the ugliness in the world. I might waste less time coveting worldly possessions. I might accept myself and my physical imperfection. I might love people just for who they are. It just might draw me closer to God. So Tommy, that deaf, dumb, and blind kid that plays a mean pinball, might have some advantages in understanding God. And when we got down to the blind part, I said that I was struggling with this, and then suddenly, and I left that part in there, it kind of took a life of its own. It went a completely different direction because it actually brings in another character in addition to Tommy. The American Institute of Deaf and Blind says, and I was very surprised by this, by the way, they say there's about 40,000 deaf blind people in the United States. Who's the first one you think of? Helen Keller. Exactly. Thank you. I didn't even prompt her to say that. She was an extraordinary woman, was she not? Deaf, dumb, and blind? Well, not necessarily. She was deaf and blind. Remember, though, in the example of being dumb, the indication was being careful when we speak, not the total lack of being able to speak. Helen Keller has many qualities like our fictional Tommy, though. And about her, a gentleman named Ray Comfort said, even Helen Keller, who was born blind and deaf, could see God. No doubt in her silent darkness, every fragrant flower, every ray of the warm sun, every taste that touched her tongue told her that there was a God who created all things. That's a great quote. And it is a great quote about her. But that was somebody else's perception of her. Could Helen Keller understand God? Let's get some quotes from her then. I can see. And that is why I can be happy in what you call the dark, but which to me is golden. I can see a God-made world, not a man-made world. Unless we form the habit of going to the Bible in bright moments as well as in trouble, we cannot fully respond to its consolations because we lack equilibrium between light and darkness. She's pretty sharp, huh? When she was young, she was actually taught, and I'm going off the Helen Keller Institute, I assume, you know, when you read on the internet, I don't always believe everything, but It is on her page. When she was young, she was originally taught that Mother Nature created all things. Later on, her friends introduced her to the idea of God, and she was drawn to that. She really wanted to know about it. And her teacher, and I can't remember her teacher's name off the top of my head, but she didn't feel adequately qualified to teach her about God, so she took her to a bishop, and he explained it to her, made her even more drawn to God, and I believe the quote was that she said, "I always knew God, I just forgot his name." She wrote a poem later that had these lines: "They took away what should have been my eyes, but I remembered Milton's paradise. They took away what should have been my ears. Beethoven came and wiped away my tears. They took away what should have been my tongue, but I talked to God when I was young. He would not let them take away my soul. Possessing that, I still possess the whole." Look, our example here of this deaf, not quite dumb and blind gal, girl, kid, I had written here, understood God. I have two more quotes from her. Death is no more than passing from one room into another. But there's a difference for me, you know, because in that other room, I'll be able to see. She understood the concept of God making your life, your body whole when you pass on. She also said, "I am only one, but I still am one. I cannot do everything, but still I can do something. And because I cannot do everything, I will not refuse to do the something that I can do." She understood that not using the tools that God has blessed her with, or blessed us with, not using those tools is really kind of shameful. Do I need to be deaf, dumb, and blind to understand God? Of course not. No more than I need to be a child to know Him. I need to be like a child. Well, how can we be like Tommy? When we think that we have the Bible all figured out, it might be time for us to be dumb, to not speak, and to use that time to seek an understanding that's better and more like what God would want us. When those around us are negative and full of happiness and getting us down, the negative pull of them is bringing our happiness down, it might be time to be deaf and to not let those things affect you. If we find ourselves no longer in awe of the vision of heaven, it might be time to be blind so that we realize heaven will be more than humans' minds could possibly imagine. So again, that deaf, dumb, and blind Tommy that plays a mean pinball just might inspire us to be happier, wiser, and have a childlike wonder when it comes to contemplating heaven. Even this isn't my New Year's Eve speech to try to inspire you to a better year. I still hope that in your new year that you'll feel right with God, that you'll feel good with God, that you'll feel like you're as close to Him as you can be. If you have obeyed but need help, we can help. If you haven't obeyed, why don't you do it today? Come forward while we stand and sing our invitation song.